Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. I'm just going to test one more time. Andrew, one more time.
Yeah. So I don't. Rachel forgot the cell phone, the laptop charger. It's at Spark Arena. So I have 33% battery.
That's okay. Well, are your notes that important?
I don't have any notes.
Oh, well, I've got a laptop out.
Because I feel like we're going to have to talk about the NBA standings.
And I've gone I want to record that, Paul.
I feel like he's got the standings open.
Because when people bring in people like, oh, this guy's an expert, and they're like, well, who's the top scorer in the NBA? I'm like, I don't know.
But you don't. Being an expert doesn't mean you know the top scorer in the NBA. If you challenge Adrian Wojnarowski, he wouldn't. Actually, he probably would know.
Yeah, I always get told off for Googling stuff during the record. But yeah, so Guy would rather you just wildly speculate than actually say the right thing.
I've listened to enough podcasts and I know that's kind of how it works.
Well, let's just get started, shall we? Hopefully this sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an edition of Advanced Analytics, a special one with Paul from New York.
Hello.
And Andrew Price from Auckland, New Zealand. Woo! Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Andrew's a basketball analyst. Let's get bloody started. Andrew, I said analyst. You actually are kind of a basketball expert, though, aren't you?
I wouldn't say I'm a self-described basketball expert.
I'd describe you. You've worked in basketball as like an analyst kind of expert guy.
Yeah. I've done a few years now for NBL teams.
Paul, how would you describe Andrew?
Cool guy.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
But like in terms of his as personally, you would describe him as a cool guy. As a basketball expert, how would you describe him?
Yeah, basketball, cool guy. Mike's basketball.
I mean, we're in the same fantasy league. He probably doesn't want to.
Yeah, we're in our fantasy rival.
Andrew, as you mentioned, has worked in the Australian Basketball League, which is a big league now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal, and you're a huge fan of that.
I love the Australian Basketball League,
which is weird. That's weird.
Well,
Paul, do you think that's weird?
Not as weird as it used to be.
I don't think it's that weird.
Okay, well, that's really cool, and you're also quite weird a fan of the Denver Nuggets, which is I think is weird.
Yeah. Probably more weird than liking local basketball.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of the Nuggets. I've got a Nugget sticker on the back of the car.
That's grim. In New Zealand, because no one even know what that means.
Yeah. Rachel.
You used to have two Settlers of Catan stickers on the back of your car.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
That's why I thought I was in safe company bringing that information out.
I reckon a Settlers of Catan sticker is cool. And then two, if it's on a crap, it depends how good the car is. So my car was a old Honda Civic. It was an absolute piece of junk. So having one sticker was cool, and then two stickers was hilariously cool.
Yeah, and they weren't.
I love
straight.
You're saying like on a crap car, as if someone's going to be driving like an Aston Martin with some.
Andrew's got a good car. It's like a nice Subaru or something, right?
Yeah, I don't want to brag about my car on the podcast.
But like, my point is, the sticker is incongruous with how good the car is.
So when I first got it, like the Denver Nuggets logo is like two pickaxes crossed.
Yeah.
And my wife looked at it and she's like, are we into like mining now or something? Like, is this a pro mining sticker?
Did you not even check with your wife if you stuck a horrific Denver Nuggets sticker on your car?
Well, you got to ask for forgiveness but not permission with that kind of thing.
Well, that's Andrew's credentials. You also launched your career when... one of the first times I was at basketball with Andrew, and he was like, I got offered a job with Australian basketball, am I right?
Yeah.
And you said, I didn't take it, obviously, because I'm loyal to New Zealand. I'm like, you're an idiot. Take that job. And you took it, and then that launched your career.
Yeah. I worked a couple of seasons with the Boomers through the Olympics.
Amazing.
Thanks, Guy.
Thank you, Guy.
It's just the first time I've been able to publicly say, I owe you my career.
Oh, I'm awesome. Because your expertise... is analytics and which is funny because this podcast is ironically called Advanced Analytics, and you actually are good at analytics.
Yeah, it's a real privilege to be on here. Actually,
Paul thinks he knows about analytics. Paul, what's your analytics background?
Oh, man. Just, I've always had a passion for it.
What year did you drop out of maths in school?
Well, whatever the first year you're allowed to is. What, year 11 or after year 11?
As soon as possible. Out?
I remember listening to a really hot take of Paul on this podcast about Magic Point Guard, what's his name?
BJ Augustine.
Yeah, and like you've done a deep dive. I was really impressed that you're telling everyone that he was the number one point guard in the NBA or something.
He's up there.
Like, you've got to go pretty deep to get those kind of numbers.
He did actually end up having a good season last year, and it's part of the reason for the decline, I think, is like him not playing that well. I mean, we'll get to Magic Mayhem later.
Yeah, get to Magic Mayhem.
One of the reasons I got Andrew on the pod, and I'm so glad to have you here, is because I think this podcast has very few weaknesses, obviously. One of the best podcasts that you can download in any genre, let alone the NBA. But one of the weird things is we have hot takes, which is what you need. But the problem is my hot takes are crazy, and Paul's takes are crazier than mine.
Nah, not always. But I did say going into the season, I did pick the Warriors to possibly win it all, and they're now looking like potential wooden spooners. Pretty bad to get it that wrong.
I mean, there's injuries though. But Andrew can almost play a role as like an adjudicator, as like a registered sane person. Let me ask you right now, Andrew, in your like experience of listening to the podcast, who has worse takes or crazier takes, me or Paul?
I'm worried about saying this because you're in the room with me, but it's definitely you.
Am I worse than Paul?
So I listen to this quite a bit in the car on the way to work.
Yeah, thank you.
You definitely make me more angry than Paul does.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And it's mainly because you're real binary about it. Like, a team is either the best in the league or trash. There's no in between.
I was doing this the other day. I was talking about politics, and I was like, that person's a trash bag and needs to be burned. And I admit I need a bit more moderation in my takes, but that's why we listen to the podcast. I'm very offended, but that's good because like, we need that. Conflict is one of the strongest parts of the pod, and like, if we have a fight on the pod, that would be great for listenership and viewers and stuff, eh?
Yeah, viewers.
Well, we might get a video pod happening soon, but right now, let's get into it with the week in review. So the big story this week is Carmelo. Is anyone mildly interested in that?
I'm mildly interested in that. I have a Carmelo jersey at home.
That's sad. Because you're a Nuggets fan, right?
Yeah. So when I first got into the Nuggets, it was AI and Melo. And so he was my guy back then. Probably less so now.
AI and Melo, that's a weird combination. Paul, do you like Melo?
I'm not the biggest fan, to be honest.
He's misunderstood.
Okay, well, no, maybe we should phrase it more this way. Paul, do you think Melo should be back in the league?
I don't. I think he's should have retired a few years back, maybe.
Like while he was still like with the Thunder or something like that.
Yeah, well, thing is, it's nice to go out on your own terms. And obviously he hasn't had the same kind of, like, I know Dwayne Wade left the Heat for a while, but, you know, he went back and kind of went out, you know, like Dirk, such a classy way to go out, you know, on your own terms. People are like, will he play one more year? Nah, I'm going to call it quits.
Well, this Melo situation is the opposite of classy. It's been like so messy and so many jerseys.
Yeah.
He was on the Atlanta Hawks for like 2 days.
Was he?
Did you want to join the Nuggets?
It would have been kind of cool if he'd joined the Nuggets as like a bench warmer. But that's the problem. Melo's never going to do that, right?
He might.
That's the reason he hasn't lasted. He's only 35.
Yeah.
He might now. He's had his big sip of humble pie. Wait, sip? I don't know.
When you get old, like, you've just got to have a good, like, Vince Carter, great attitude. You just got to know you're not the top dog and, you know, be a good locker room presence and you'll get to go out classy. But Melo, So I can see him just getting cut again.
So, Andrew, like you're a Nuggets fan, and I'm just wondering how you became a Nuggets fan, because you're saying you got in when Carmelo and AI played together, which is kind of like the end of Carmelo's glory years, right?
No. So AI was there first. Melo was drafted after LeBron, same year as LeBron.
Yeah.
So what's that, 03?
Yeah, but AI didn't come to the Nuggets until years later.
You mean the end of his career?
How does a guy from Tauranga, New Zealand get into the Denver Nuggets? It's such an odd... Like, Paul's makes sense because the Magic were huge in New Zealand in the 90s, Shaq and Penny. Raptors makes sense for me. My family's Canadian and I got on board with Masai Ujiri from the Nuggets when I briefly tried to get on that bandwagon. How did you end up with the Nuggets?
So when I was young, this is a medium-length story. Do you remember the Mighty Ducks trilogy?
Yeah. Yes.
So that was huge, and everyone was into ice hockey, and because I was in Tauranga, it was inline hockey. Like, everyone
sick.
Played. And so I like at that time, the Colorado Avalanche and the Detroit Red Wings were the two big ice hockey teams.
I remember the Avalanche being big. Yeah, are they big still? Or I feel like they fell away.
No, they won a few Stanley Cups back then.
Did they have Patrick Waugh?
Yeah.
He was so cool. He has that quote that me and Paul love where he's like, I can't hear him trash talking because I've got my two Stanley Cup rings stuffed in my ears.
So yeah, I was a hockey fan, and then I switched. I thought, you know what, basketball's way more fun than ice hockey. I've been a Colorado Avalanche fan, I might as well just be a Nuggets fan.
Yeah, okay.
That's as simple as that.
Hey, that was not a medium-length story. I was waiting for a long journey about, and then Mallow got drafted, and then my inline hockey skates broke. And that was a very simple origin story. You into it because the Mighty Ducks were popular and the Avalanche were popular because they branded themselves in a cool way. Mm-hmm. And because of the Avalanche, why do you support the Mighty Ducks?
Because all the kids supported the Mighty Ducks.
Paul, you support the Mighty Ducks?
No, I'm an Islanders fan.
Why the Islanders? That's weird. That's real weird.
Just chose them on vibe.
Have you been to a game yet? You're in New York.
No, I actually haven't. I own a Pittsburgh Penguins Sidney Crosby jersey.
Oh, that's cool.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all.
I've never been to an ice hockey game.
So Carmelo,
I think it is cool. Sidney Crosby shares my birthday.
Whoop-de-doo. My birthday is Women's
and
Suffrage Day.
He's from the same place as where our mum is from in Canada.
Oh, shout out to Halifax, Nova Scotia. My favorite take on the Mallow situation was someone on Reddit who said it's a real break glass in case of emergency move where they break the glass and more fire comes out. And it's like literally their problems are, I'd say, injury and defense, right? And Mallow doesn't really help in any of those. Like, surely the one thing they have is scoring, which is what Mallow should bring.
Well, they need someone to replace those minutes that they were getting from the power forward position last year, right?
Yeah, but Mario Hezonja was doing a great job.
To borrow a leaf out of your book, he's trash.
Yeah. Paul, we're goading you to get into the conversation, mate.
Mario Hezonja, hell of a player, hell of a guy. Yeah, that's all I got to say on it.
The police helicopter's got... I don't know if there's a convict on the... Do you get the police helicopter going over your house?
In West Auckland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Is it not scary, like at like 11 o'clock at night, when you're like, is there someone out there murdering people? Like, well, why are they there?
I live quite rurally, not to give away on a very popular podcast where I live. And I've already given away what kind of car I drive. So.
No one is going to track you down from this podcast. Although I did meet some fans at the Western Springs Football Club. So shout out to those listeners. Yeah, shout out to Carmelo. We wish him all the best. And I just think if you're a team that's struggling, why would you want to create a stronger media spotlight on yourself? You know, like any problems they've got are just going to be more emphasized now that ESPN's like putting real focus on them because they've got Carmelo.
Wouldn't it be so exciting if he was awesome though? Like if he came back and he was...
Yeah, in your mind, because you can get your Mallow... Is your Mallow jersey like one of the shiny blue ones as well?
No. I've got a Mallow, also a Mallow training camp, like when he was first drafted, his like training camp jersey. And that's a shiny one.
That's a real unusual piece of merch. But I guess if you're a true Nuggets fan, why not?
One thing I will say is I think Terry Stotts, I kind of rate him and think he's kind of been getting the best out of some players who aren't that good for the last few years. And so, I don't know. I'm not writing him off as being okay.
Welcome to the podcast, Andrew. That's how we end a sentence. We're like, so I think the coach is not bad, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I want McCollum to... McCollum's one of my favourite players to watch, so I just really hope he comes right and gets his shit together. But
I hadn't really noticed that the Blazers are struggling.
They're really struggling. Andrew, yeah. It's time to use your laptop with 30% charge to Google the stand.
The standing.
You don't. You've got no notes written down. You don't need a laptop.
The Blazers.
They're 13. In the
West. Yeah. Four and eight.
But not only that. They just are playing awfully. They can't defend anyone, and their offense isn't as good as it should be. Like it's real. Like the way the Raptors blew them away. Like it just kind of like it's looking bad.
Whiteside's not the player.
It was a weird play. Again, adding fire to more fire is going to not be fired. Although, in saying that, in the Whiteside deal, they did get rid of bad crap as well. I mean, Myers Leonard is playing well, but, you know, they got rid of bad... Here's terrible contract.
What's,
a,
Was it Inez Kanter who was saying, like, he was just singing the absolute praises of, which is kind of weird looking back, because he left in free agency, didn't he, to go to Boston? Mm. But
maybe they didn't want him, or he wasn't part of their plans.
Like, yeah, possibly. But he was, wasn't he, like, insanely high on Portland, just as, like, an organization, just saying it was the best place he's ever played?
Well, he played through massive injury in the playoffs last year for them, right?
Hmm, I think so.
That was last year.
It's a bad, going to Boston is a bad place for a player with an attitude like that. Paul George is back. Does this make the Clippers the favorite? Like, are we excited about them now? The Clippers haven't been as good as we thought they'd be. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost every game Kawhi has set out.
They were my favorites before the season started. Well, I know I said the Warriors were going to win, but in terms of my elaborate points-based ranking system, the Clippers came out on top. But, yeah, I haven't actually watched them play, so I shouldn't really speak on it. But I think they've underwhelmed me a little bit.
Mate, this podcast, no one's watching anyone play on this podcast. And Andrew, you got any thoughts on the Clippers? You care about them?
I would have thought they were favourites going into the season. And I would say they're probably still favourites. The Lakers are pretty good. Better than I thought they were going to be.
So I'm
agree with that.
I had a segment prepped coming up called Guys Hot Questions. So we should probably get into it now. And my first question was going to be, are the Lakers and Celtics actually good? Because I looked at, there's a lot of terrible strength of schedule measures. Are any of those any good, by the way, do you think, in your opinion, Andrew?
Yeah, the normal strength of schedule one's pretty good. So it's the way they calculate it is the teams you've played rating, like win percentage, and the teams that the teams you've played have played.
Yeah. Win percentage. So it's a little bit off probably going off a 10-game sample size, right, though? Because, like, for example, the Suns, who we're not too sure about, will look like really good in strength of schedule, and also the Spurs will look really good in strength of schedule. And it's hard to know if either of those teams are actually good yet. I mean, we know they'll be decent, but...
Yeah, the Suns are way better than everyone thought so far, right? But, like, even given strength of schedule, I think no one would have thought that this good.
Well, looking at those charts, Lakers and Celtics have had very easy schedules so far. Like, Celtics, one of the easiest, and... even Lakers, like, they lost their first game to the Clippers. They've had a good win against the Spurs, and they beat the Suns, whether you think they're good or not. But it's hard to know how good the Spurs are as well. They lost their one hard game to the Raptors badly, and it's
narrow wins as well.
Yeah, I'm not convinced by the Lakers yet. Like, I always bet on LeBron James, as I say every week in the podcast and stuff like that. But, like, it's the bar is going to be really high when all the teams get their shit together, and it's like, yeah, the Lakers can get better and better, but they're not deep and they don't have much besides their top heavy. I'm not convinced.
And I will say, crazy dunk by LeBron last night. I was getting sick. I was getting ready to be like, man, I need to stop seeing Lakers highlights getting hyped, because usually it's like Alex Caruso with the monster slam, and then it's like him just doing like a gentle, like, 2 foot. One-foot, two-hand dunk. But then that LeBron one was pretty crazy.
It was real white b-ball pains, because he went round Bojan Bogdanovic and then dunked on another white guy who was trying to draw a charge just outside the circle. What are you doing?
You really can't half-ass like a charge attempt. Like, you've either got to really step up and take the hit and fall, or like it was half-hearted, and man.
In my limited experience in top level New Zealand basketball, I got dunked on all the time playing like forward and like just being in the paint. And I can't imagine how scary it would be being in the NBA with, like, the Lakers have got like three guys who can, like, AD can yam on you from anywhere. He's got like go-go gadget arms. And it must be like playing like Giannis must be terrifying, because even if you go out there going, hey, it's going to be a televised game, I play for the Kings, we're not good, all I've got to do is avoid getting dunked on. It's so hard with those guys. And, like, you hesitate for 1 second, and bad luck, you're on ESPN.
But it's kind of irrelevant, right? You may as well, talking for someone who's not on TV in front of millions of people, like, you may as well contest the shot, and if you get dunked on, who cares?
Are you kidding? Like, literally, Mozgov became his name became, it got called Getting Mozgov.
Yeah.
Like, it's Sean Bradley, like, that's all he's known for, is getting yammed on. Like, it is, I know what you're saying, you get millions of dollars and that's your job, but at the same time, I would go for my traditional move was just hard foul, and just when I say hard foul, I don't mean like push the guy over, I mean like just hack the arm, which is hard, because then if they dunk you when you're doing that, then it's even worse, because it's an and one, which is something I've also done many times before. But yeah, I'm like, just get out of the way or hard foul. And that was definitely a situation where it was, especially with his pathetic charge attempt, just like, get out of the way.
Celtics. So did you guys watch that game yesterday? Were they against the Warriors?
Look, we don't want to comment on how many games we watch and how many games we don't watch. But wait, I was worried I missed a big game. And then, what, you watched Celtics versus Warriors?
Yeah, it was on ESPN.
I watched a little bit of the end.
What is wrong with you guys?
It was a real close game. I actually found myself rooting for the Warriors in that.
Yeah, of course you would, because they've got no players. They've got nine active players. If they lose one more, they're at the NBA minimum. And which is weird, because they've got no money to sign anyone, even a D-League player they can't afford.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So what was your takeaway from that game?
Well, so I was thinking, based on like other...
You're looking at your laptop. You've already told me you have nothing written down there. What is on there?
Well, no, because I was just checking where the Celtics were in the East and they're top, right?
Oh, wow. And the standings. Warriors, this is very Paul Williams-style analytics.
Of the West.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, are the Celtics good, was your original question?
Yeah, no, they're not.
And they almost lost to bottom of the West, you
see? Yeah, I don't think they are. Like, no. My question should be, are they contenders? And it's like, are they good? Well, they're guaranteed to be third or fourth in the East, or maybe even second if the Sixers continue to putter along. But, well, maybe first where they are right now, sorry. But the point is, it's like, I just don't think they're serious contenders. But the Lakers and the Celtics are going to get so much hype until they, you know, either fall off a cliff or if they make the playoffs.
I honestly don't know if anyone in the East is contenders for
you don't
think
so?
I think whoever wins the West. Yeah, I don't know.
It's because the West isn't looking as good as we thought.
The Sixers, so far, I think some of their players are just not shooting well, and they need to just, like, Tobias Harris, I think, has been bad. But they have no depth, which scares me.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm almost like, the coach should, like, split up the starting five a bit and just, like, I don't know.
Maybe this is a shotgun move, and I'm just pulling this out of my ass. Andrew, you've worked in the front office before. I would say fire the coach for the Sixers, because like Brett Brown has got them this far, and they're like, the reason he's the coach is because he went through the process, and like they feel like they need to keep him. But now they're an elite team who needs to go to an elite level, and then I don't know if there's an elite coach out there, but like that would be the plan next season probably, right, to get an elite coach in there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the issue. Like, you fire Brett Brown, and who are you going to put in his place?
Yeah, but what I'm asking you is, like, if there was someone just sitting there, if Doc Rivers was just hanging around, would you pull that trigger, like, straight away?
I'm a big believer in continuity for teams. And you look at, like, what the Heat have done with, what's his name?
Spoelstra.
Yeah. And, like, everyone thought he was trash when he first started.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a good coach now.
Yeah, and they've given it a long time. So you stick with Brett Brown, and if the players like him, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've got an all-in starting five. You need to win this year or next year, or at least be looking as good as you were last year. You can't be pissing around if your coach isn't right. And you look at, like, team like the Bucks, who were, like, heading nowhere, and they changed their coach, and now they're the best regular season team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say about the Sixers is, like, Joel Embiid missing games for doing fights. And then he sat out against the Magic. They lost that. Like, I don't know. Like,
doing
I think rough
fights.
Blaming Brett Brown when it's like, Joel Embiid, you got to play. Like, how many games? It's been like 10 games.
Listen, Joel, you got to stop doing fights and missing
stop
games.
Doing fights and load management. I mean, no, I'm. Obviously, he's got to do a bit of that. Cause
the hard thing about Embiid, and there's like a lot of teams, it's like Giannis, if he pissed on the floor, you couldn't sanction him because you're just like so indebted to your star players in the NBA that, like, you know, Joel Embiid, it's hard to tell him not to do things, you know?
So the weird thing about the Sixers is like the three-point shooting, right? Everyone's shooting threes apart from the Sixers. I think Al Horford's like their leading three-point shooter. Embiid doesn't shoot or shouldn't shoot.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons doesn't shoot at all. So they've just got all these guys that are crowding at the paint.
But they got Richardson and Harris. Harris just needs to come right.
Yeah, Harris is not shooting well as well.
What are you doing? It must be so scary as a front office member to pay someone and then have them not perform.
And I do think Elton Brand is having a bit of a mirror of it. Mm. I know Tobias Harris is really great and like borderline all-star kind of talent, but like Landry Shamet could have been used, like some shooters.
Yeah.
JJ Redick is a massive.
Yeah, JJ.
Right? Covington?
Covington, yeah. Like, I feel like he's getting rid of a lot of great shooters to surround Ben Simmons with. Even, I'll bring it up again, but Markelle Fultz they gave away for
pennies on the dollar. But he wouldn't know. I think Markel Fultz, they gave him what they get. They sold too low on him. But I mean, he wasn't. He's the one that was like, yeah. He's there's no way he's part of any plans they have.
Is he good,
Markel Fultz?
Yeah.
Well, he's not. He's,
oh yeah.
No.
Oh yeah. Paul's, I'll bring him up in Magic Mayhem.
Paul's a huge fan. My thought is that he is like as a bench impact player, like he's got potential,
he's
but like
starting.
For a good team is what you always look at. You don't look at like what's his role going to be on the Land of Magic because franchise player is this position at the moment. We're getting to Magic Mayhem. We're getting to Magic Mayhem soon. More of Guy's hot questions. Is Andrew Wiggins good?
No.
I like that. I like that. Man, this is the problem. See, this is the problem with having Andrew on the podcast. I reckon Paul would be like, yeah, man, he's fire.
No, I would have always said no. Looking at his stats so far, he's been, I think, kind of good. Will he keep it up? No. Also, I haven't seen him play defense or anything, and I think he's terrible at defense, right? Which is more of an eye test thing than a, like, looking at the stats, I think. Well, not always, but...
Andrew, do you think defense is more of an eye test thing or looking at the stats?
No, the stats I'm looking at are literally just points, assists, at the moment, so...
Does steals and blocks not, like...
Well, blocks are a massively overrated stat because most of the time you block the shot and it goes out of bounds, the team gets the ball back.
That's an interesting take.
It's rim protection would be one. So, like, if we're doing... Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm interested.
Like, looking at, like, rim protection, like, the opponent's field goal percentage at the rim is way more important than block shots. It's kind of that fear of getting blocked, which is totally a psychological thing.
Yeah.
Steals are, but then with steals...
That's something Paul has when he attacks the rim and I'm in the paint.
steals...
Fear of getting blocked.
Yeah.
Like, steals, you get high steals, but people that get high steal numbers often gamble as well on defense, and that's how they get them. But
you've got to give Paul just 2 seconds. You've got to give Paul a chance to rebut that.
What, that I was scared of getting blocked?
By me.
No, I ain't scared of nothing but the police.
I'm sorry, Andrew, I interrupted you.
I can't.
Oh, so you're saying, so that was quite an interesting take as well. So steals, like a gambling player can be more of a, like a Russell Westbrook type can be more of a liability because he's going for a stat rather than...
Yeah, like you're going to get 5 steals, but you're going to gamble on like 7.
But remember how when Kawhi was at the peak of his defensive powers for the Spurs, they would always talk about his like steals per game, and he was a great defender who also terrorized people with his steals. So but you're saying that stat alone doesn't show anything.
Yeah, box scores don't show defense.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Oh, so Paul, you were validated there by Andrew. That's quite good,
yeah,
eh?
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, well, that's really interesting about blocks as well. So Andrew Wiggins is one of the most hated players in the NBA. Like, just because I guess everyone roots for the Timberwolves secretly, like hoping they get their shit together. You don't?
Oh, I hate the Timberwolves.
Why do you hate the Timberwolves?
Well, I hate them mostly because 2 years ago they knocked the Nuggets out of the eighth spot.
You're a psycho. Here's the problem with the podcast.
How
now.
How can you like them?
If Andrew's on the podcast, here's the problem: is that Paul filters everything through his personal preferences and the Orlando relative to the Orlando Magic. You're like Paul, what do you think of the Milwaukee Bucks this year? And you'd be like, I hate him. And he's like, why? And he's like, because in 1994 they knocked Anfernee Hardaway out of the first round or something. Like, you know, like, and now you're there as well with that.
But the Timberwolves, like, Karl Anthony Towns is not a fun player to watch. He just mopes around a lot of the time. Jeff Teague's a battle to watch as well.
Paul, I mean, you must understand where I'm coming from.
What's exciting about the Wolves?
What was the statement?
The Timberwolves are like, I'm not saying that everyone's second favorite team. What I mean is like, everyone roots for them because they're so pathetic. They are, ever since KG left, it's just depressing. It's like, nothing go right. They had their GM die in office. Like, they can't get any luck whatsoever. They're just a team beset by tragedy, and they finally get their shit together, and they get Jimmy Butler, and you're like, things are going to happen, and it blows up where Jimmy Butler's like fighting his teammates at practice. Like, they just can't get a break. And if you're a Timberwolves fan, I feel sorry for you.
Like,
I want them to do well.
You got to kind of look at like them though. Like, they've got to shoulder some of the blame. Like, obviously, Flip Saunders dying, I'm not blaming them, but
it'd be weird if you're like, he was murdered by the Timberwolves.
Like, you know, it's like, maybe they're not a great organization if players are leaving after 1 year.
But that's every small market team. Like, look, mate, look at the Magic. Well, how do you judge the Magic where every good player they've had has left them for Los Angeles?
Well, that's like two guys.
The two most important players in their franchise history.
Yeah.
And Tracy
McGrady. One of them famous idiot whose career has been ruined ever since.
That's the kind of fire we want on the podcast. Hey, Dwight, you idiot.
Yeah, famous idiot. The other guy, Shaq, lovable guy.
To be fair, Dwight is a famous idiot. Like, that is what he's famous for being. He's turning it around this year, though. I love him in the Instagram comments defending his boy KCP. Like, he's like going in to bat. And I'm going to say, if Dwight
again,
is looking at Instagram...
Again, he's an idiot. No one's going into bat for him.
Don't you think, though, like, Joel Embiid is going to be that guy in 10 years' time?
Yeah, possibly.
Like, when the talent, the athleticism and stuff goes away, and you're just left with that kind of...
That ego.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, hopefully not. Possibly. Hopefully. But Embiid has a lot more skills than... he's heavy. I mean, athleticism isn't really Embiid's strength, right? It's length, strength, and skills.
Yeah, well, I'm a big Jokic fan, and that's tick, tick, tick.
It's all that. Oh, yeah, we've got to get into Jokic at some point. That's a can of worms we've got to open up. But he's riding the ship a little bit. Timberwolves are just, they're just lovable. I know you've got to, because they beat you in one series once.
Well, it's not just that, though. I mean, what is lovable about the Timberwolves? They're like, Karl Anthony Towns is hard to like. He's super talented.
Did you see him do a Snapchat video of being the Joker, where he made music for it and stuff like that? He dressed up as the Joker. Imagine walking around the streets of Minnesota, already creepy. Like, I've been there. There's no one there.
Right, have you seen photos from like any NBA team's Halloween parties from since The Dark Knight came out?
Yeah, because that
because
all,
I reckon about 40% of NBA players dress up as the Joker.
It's so grim how men identify with that character so strongly. Paul's movie review coming up later in the podcast. Okay, that's a good point. I like Towns. I find him quite likable, like in a kind of like a big, lovable goofball,
massive underachiever.
I don't think he's a massive underachiever. He's like he'll be getting if the Timberwolves make the playoffs, he'll be getting MVP like shouts, won't he?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah,
Timberwolves aren't making the playoffs.
Oh. You never know if Wiggins keeps it up. I don't care about the Timberwolves. I don't care about Karl Anthony Towns. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate and go, hey, they're kind of likable. They've got a 32-year-old head coach or something.
Yeah, he's cool.
Is he?
I like that.
Do you actually like that?
I like it, you know.
It's weird.
Investing in a young guy for the future.
It's like one of those kids' movies that came out in the 90s where like an old man dies and leaves his beloved baseball team, normally Minnesota Twins, to his like grandson, and his grandson has to coach the team and led by an angel played by Doc Brown from Back to the Future. That's kind of what it's like, right? No, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. My other question was going to be, so no one likes Andrew Wiggins. I must admit, I'm not sure if he's good yet, but I want him to be good. Was the Blake Griffin trade good for Detroit? That's what I was going to ask now. I don't know. They're really struggling. He's been injured, as predicted, when they got him. But at the same time, last year he had like a amazing all-star minimum seat, like above all-star. Like, he was awesome last year. He's going to come back. He's the only relevant thing about their team. Like... did it kind of make sense to do that?
My boy Langston Galloway had 7 threes in a game last night.
Shout out to Langston Galloway.
I have him. He's currently an injury plug on my fantasy team. And sadly, I had him on the bench because I had a full roster.
Detroit's
meanwhile, TJ Warren shot 12%. So I continue.
Andrew, you're laughing. How's your fantasy team going?
Not well.
Not well. You're there too. Because you guys, interesting thing about these two guys is they both fought over the same players in their fantasy draft, which is interesting. You had the same analytics.
Yeah, we were going... I think we had the same spreadsheet we were working off.
Andrew, when you say that, you mean like you both made your spreadsheet or you downloaded a spreadsheet?
I made my spreadsheet. I assume Paul did as well.
I made mine, yeah.
But are you embarrassed that you made the same spreadsheet as Paul?
I'm never embarrassed of making a spreadsheet.
Okay. You love spreadsheets.
I love spreadsheets.
Shout out to spreadsheets. Good on you. My other hot question was going to be, do you guys care about Bronny James? Like... his games are getting broadcast on ESPN3. That's crazy.
Yeah, no.
Isaiah Thomas. Wait, Isaiah?
Isaiah Thomas.
The Celtics one from a few years
Nuggets
ago.
Legend Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, he retweeted at ESPN saying like they were going to broadcast 10 of their games or whatever.
Yeah.
And he just pointed out that they were getting more games than his team.
I would rather watch Bronny James's team than the Washington Wizards, I reckon.
The Wizards, I've heard, I haven't really watched them, but like they're crazy good at offense, I think, and just can't play defense, but they like score like, wait, I should really look it up, but I think they like put up crazy numbers.
And shout out to that one good player they have. He is good to watch, and I've forgotten his name. That's how irrelevant they are.
The Wizards are
the fourth top scoring team.
Yeah,
kind of crazy.
Third best offensive team in the league.
That's impressive. You get that off your laptop that you've got here.
I've got my laptop.
What battery charge are you on?
Oh, what are we on? Down to 25%.
Why don't you put it on? Can you put it on like energy saver mode? You're going to last the whole pod. You're going to be great. A weird thing. Do you guys? What's the most? Here's a question. What's the most embarrassing YouTube videos you guys watch, like NBA related? Andrew's looking at me worried. I was like, it's not gonna be something weird, mate. It's just, I'm just like NBA related, because like, I watched the Raptors reality TV show for a while, but the most there's things on YouTube where you're like, this is not entertainment, this is not like, I'm not a human for watching this. I watch a lot of videos of I think the channel's called Coal Sky, and what they do is they go behind the scenes at American sports teams' training facilities, and they're amazing. Like, Oregon Ducks training facility is, it looks like a Nike advertisement. They have a throne where they sit the players on to measure their shoe size. They have like a tailor room where they measure their uniforms. I don't even care about American football at all, but like, just like the rain, they've got walls of every helmet and every colorway of uniform they've had, and the athletics facility is just unbelievable. I love watching those videos. And on that video, they also go into players' houses to look at their sneaker collection. And I watched Langston Galloway and PJ Tucker, and they both talked about buying sneakers on eBay. These are professional athletes who could have million-dollar sport deals, and I think Langston Galloway at least is probably Nike, right? They're going on eBay and buy. I assumed that Nike sent them like limited release shoes. Is that not embarrassing that NBA players are buying like $1,000 Yeezys and stuff like that, just like in their spare time?
Can you do that if you're sponsored by Nike? Can you buy Adidas
PJ
shoes?
Tucker doesn't have a sponsorship. He might be sponsored by like one of those StockX types apps where it's a resale app. But PJ Tucker just enjoys being. He said he spends up to 4 hours a day on social media and stuff negotiating, like so he can be the number one sneaker person in the league. And not only is that weird, because he's famous for once changing shoes 6 times in a game, which is already effed up. And one of the reasons he changed shoes is because he wears old shoes and they break, because rubber in the soles of basketball shoes rots, as many people who have like original Jordans and stuff like that can attest to. It's so embarrassing. It literally crumbles like sand. So he has his shoes just like the soles just flop off, which is dangerous. Like, it's what happened to Zion playing in some old sneakers. But it seems so embarrassing to me.
That you're buying sneakers?
An NBA player spending hours of his day buying sneakers that he should be given for free.
He probably enjoys it.
He like does, but
the thrill of the chase.
But there's no thrill of the chase because you're a millionaire and you just go on eBay and just can buy whatever you want. You're like, okay, you want to acquire the what's the rarest shoe? Like the they made 50 pairs of the Back to the Future shoes. You go on there and they're $50,000, and you're like, yeah, I'll buy that. Why not?
Well, also buying is like kind of an addiction. Like, I think you'll attest, even like I know for a fact that you probably like multiple times a week will visit classicfootballshirts.com or whatever.
I've actually gone off that. I now visit classicrugbyshirts.com, or have you know?
Yes. And then I'll always come and you'll be like wearing some new old school soccer jersey or whatever.
Yeah.
And it is addictive. And
it is.
It's like Robin Lopez buying the clothes of an animatronic character from Epcot at Disney World.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, good point. You've kind of smashed it back in my face there. I'm just saying, like, these guys, it's their job. At least they should be wearing performance shoes on court. If PJ Tucker gets injured because he's wearing some vintage Kobes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
By the way, they're not even that vintage. They're like from 6 years ago, and they're bright green, and his teams, they look awful. Like these players, no one looks at PJ Tucker and goes, he looks awesome on court. There's not many players now, especially when they wear shoes that don't match their uniform, that I really like the look of them. But if he gets injured because of that, that's infuriating. But also when his manager must be like, your sneaker contract with Nike or Adidas would be millions of dollars a year. You're turning down millions of dollars of income so you can potentially so you can spend money on shoes. Yeah, it's mental.
How much would PJ Tucker be getting paid? Like, he's obviously just weighed it up and was like, it's not worth it.
Also, if you're changing shoes six times in a game, I'd question your, you know, focus.
Yeah, but the weird thing is he's quite a focus and it works for him though, right?
But imagine what he could be.
Yeah, but one of the things that he said is that he feels superstitious about shoes as well. So he changed shoes six times, maybe because two pairs broke and then the rest of them because he wasn't feeling it.
That's pretty normal though. Athletes are pretty superstitious people.
Yeah, but yeah.
It was also one of the huge benefits to Lonzo Ball's deal with Big Baller Brand was that he was free to wear other shoe brands.
After he was getting injuries due to his sneakers.
Were falling apart, yeah.
Ironically, he switched to old Kobe's now and then he fell over just running up the floor.
Lots of people.
I was there when I saw that. I saw him injure himself while just dribbling the ball up the court.
Old Kobe's are super popular at the moment, right?
They are, because they're just low-cut, simple Nike shoes, and most players are sponsored by Nike. And also, there's not many cool, just like basic Nike sneakers. I like the Kyrie like cheap version. Like they just make a basic... But basically, most NBA players from games I've been to, like most players on the roster who aren't like specifically sponsored with their own shoe and they've got to wear those horrific Giannis shoes... They just wear basic team color, low cut Nike. Most of them are sponsored by Nike or Adidas, you know, shoes, depending on who they're sponsored by. But anyway, that was just
move on.
That was grim to me. Well, let's move on. It's probably that time. Am I right, Paul?
What, movie review or Magic Mayhem?
What do you mean? No one's saying it's that time. Right about that time, okay. For the movie review.
Okay. It's that time. Right about that time for the stars to roll on out. Winning streak, did I hear someone say? Two games in a row.
Wow!
So the Magic have leaped into the playoffs. I know it's early days, but they are now in the 8th seed with a 5-7 record.
Who are they competing against for their 8th seed, by the way?
The Nets are in 9th, the Cavs are in 10th, the Hawks are in
11th. The Cavs, they're like, got to beat them Cavs.
Well, to be honest, I think the teams, like the Pistons would like to be competing for the 8th seed.
Yeah, good point.
But also the Hornets are currently in the 7th seed, so they'll possibly drop a bit maybe.
Who have you guys beat in your two-game winning streak?
We beat the Sixers without Joel Embiid.
Still a good one.
And we beat the Spurs without Jonathan Isaac. Like, when the game started and I saw he wasn't playing, I was like, oh, this could be bad. And it did start pretty bad, but we went down 16 in the first quarter and then came back to... And we're pretty clutch at the end. Like, it was kind of an interesting finish where we inbounded the ball with the Spurs looking to foul. But then Fournier started falling out of bounds, but he threw it back to Gordon, who inbounded it. And he then, instead of just dribbling out the clock, attacked the hoop. And DeMar DeRozan fouled him quite hard around the neck. And it was a flagrant. So it really ended.
Man,
iced the
DeRozan,
game was,
like, I just, I always root
for
that guy.
Flagrant.
DeRozan, what are you doing, bro? Just to pause Magic Mayhem for a second, that is a bad loss for the Spurs. Like, without Jonathan Isaac, the Atlanta Magic. Where was it? Was it in Orlando?
In Orlando, on the road. Tough place to get a win.
I just wanted to throw it out there. Is Greg Popovich ruining his own legacy a little bit? Don't get me wrong. I'm like, he can do whatever he wants. I'm not saying he shouldn't do this. But, like, 3 years ago, people were like, he was just a god. You know, he could do no wrong. And people were amazed with the team he had, how far he was going. And, like, is he ruining his own legacy by hanging around in the same way Phil Jackson ruined his legacy by being the GM of the Knicks?
I don't think so. I think the Spurs are going to win another championship in the next 3 years.
Wait, that was an insane thing. Built around who? LaMarcus Aldridge?
No, they'll just build a good... No, I think maybe some of those old guys will start fading and they'll... They're developing some young guys.
But do you think they've got a star on the team where they're going to trade or get free agent or something?
I think Lonnie Walker's underrated.
Who?
Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, I think they've got a few, like Bryn Forbes is like a cash money shooter. DeJounte Murray is going to keep getting better. Derek White.
Derek White
Lonnie
was awesome
Walker.
In the playoffs last year.
Sorry?
Derek White was real good in the playoffs last
yeah.
year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was, like, didn't he look good for Team USA a bit? I don't know. But I just think the Spurs will, they'll be back on top soon.
No, you're saying the next 3 years is madness. Like, Andrew, what do you think about that?
You know, they'll make the playoffs this year.
No. I don't question whether they're going to hang around the eighth or ninth seed, although I'm not sure they will make them this year. Like, they're looking pretty bad so far. And, I mean, they just lost to the Magic. I mean, in Orlando, tough place to win, don't get me wrong.
Tough place to win.
But, like, I'm just like, Popovich is like, their front office moves was also part of their genius. Like, everyone talked about RG Buford, and since then they've made a lot of front office mistakes.
I will say this. As I was watching it, I was thinking, man, I'd be so pissed if I was them with that, whichever one of the Morris twins
yeah,
was like
he
coming.
Screwed them. Yeah.
And he went to New York where he's now like all-star, all-star numbers.
But yeah. He could be solid for the Spurs, you're right.
Yeah, he could be so solid for the Spurs. And instead they got Trey Lyles, who like, I don't know a lot about him, but he didn't seem great last night against the Magic.
Is Popovich probably the greatest coach of all time? He probably is, eh? Like, obviously, it's hard to compare eras, but probably.
Yeah, people massively underrate that Tim Duncan era Spurs, right? Like, in terms of historically, because he wasn't as flashy as Shaq was or Kobe. And
the thing I love about Popovich is that he won always. Like, they're most famous for being the most awful offense the world's ever seen. But then later on, they helped pioneer, like, tiki-taka, corner threes, wing the ball around to Patty Mills. Like, they've gone through a lot of iterations. They haven't just been, like, stuck with one style of play the whole time. And, like, actually last year, they were all offense, almost no defense. So it's kind of interesting how they changed. Not that they were that good, but, you know, like, you got to give Popovich some credit. But just seeing him last year in the playoffs against the Nuggets, running onto the court, yelling for a timeout, I was like, this is grim.
Enough about the Spurs. This is actually a segment about the Orlando Magic.
Sorry, mate. Tough place to win.
It's a tough place to win, and proudly, we're no longer scoring the least amount of points.
Woo!
We've passed the Knicks, but we've also passed the Jazz in terms of opponents scoring. We're now the only team keeping teams to under 100 points. It's like 99 point something.
Still one of the worst teams to watch in the league.
So they're like a defensive powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
The Orlando Magic?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like an absolute train wreck on offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they've been shooting so far. Like, it's a shooting slump, for sure. Like, even guys who are good shooters just can't buy a basket. But we've shown glimpses now. Like, the last few games, we've been making some shots, finally. Vucevic against the Spurs was shocking. Like, he couldn't buy anything. Like, shots, like, half a foot from the rim.
Do you reckon, like, missing. Are you going to admit that, like, maybe re-signing him was a bad mistake?
No,
like,
no, absolutely not. It definitely was the right thing to do. And again, they've top-loaded his contract. So, like, each year that goes by in the next 2 years.
Paul's proudest thing of the Magic this year has been that they've loaded the contract so they're all declining so that they have to pay them less in a few
years.
Yeah,
it's big. Okay, time for Magic Player of the Week.
Wow, Magic Player of the Week. This is an exciting award. I can't wait to hear who wins it. Not Jonathan Isaac, not Nikola Vucevic, that's for sure.
Those are the only two I can name.
Aaron Gordon?
No, Evan Fournier, Player of the Week.
Wow! I did not see that coming. This is quite a thrilling award, I reckon.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he's scoring 20 points per game on 55% field goal percentage. He's playing well on offense. What more do you want? Four assists.
I'm glad he's woken up because, like, they've built a lot around that guy, and I personally don't think he deserves to be in the NBA. But I'm glad to see he's out there giving it a go.
Special shout out to Markel.
Yeah,
Markel is shooting 81% from the free throw line on the season.
Oh, that's
not
really
bad for.
Is he? Wait. How many free throws has he shot? Is he like 3 from 4?
I don't have that set in front of me.
That would be super.
Nah, he'd shoot quite a few. Like, because his whole game is he gets fouled a lot. I'd say.
Why?
His whole game.
He's
like,
not going to make the shot. Just let him let it go.
No, not true. He's actually his signature move is just burning in. Like, he's so quick.
Yeah.
Burning in and then gathering the ball with one hand, like his outside hand, like scooping it up, and then like a little layup over the top because he's very athletic. Like, got quite an a jump on him as well. And he actually gets fouled quite a lot. Like in the Spurs game, I feel like he maybe probably shot the most free throws out of anyone. And also, he's been averaging in the last three nearly four assists, just under four assists with zero turnovers in the last three games, which is pretty good for a starting point guard. You know, he's playing over 20 minutes a game.
But also the offense, as you said, is horrible. So, like, and he's the point guard that's orchestrating. But here's the thing. Well, you're growing with him as well. What'd you say?
Sorry?
What are you saying the offense is not that bad? What are you saying that they're the third worst?
Third worst at what?
Their offense.
Well, just scoring points were the second worst.
Okay.
I should really limit this to the point guard that's guiding them this
terrible offense.
So you're better than the Knicks.
No, let's go last three games. We'll see where we are in terms of scoring points. Okay, last three games, we're actually... I can't see us. We're not on this list.
We're actually
19th in scoring in the last three games.
Congrats,
so
man.
We really have turned it around.
Well done to Fournier and 19th in the last three games. That's definitely a trend that is
ahead of
worth analyzing.
Pretty good teams. Ahead of the Sixers, ahead of the Clippers, ahead of the Nets, the Pacers, the Nuggets, the Kings.
Over three games, well done. But you can, I mean, if the on-court play is not razzle-dazzling you enough, the Magic have got some spiffy new uniforms.
Yeah. So there were,
people hate them.
In the off-season.
They're making people very angry. Oh, I don't
know. Oh, really? I haven't seen that. But just like over the off-season, there was a lot of hype for these orange uniforms, inspired by the fruit orange, which obviously grow a lot in the Florida region.
It seems like a joke. But, yeah, shout out to the oranges.
But so there was a lot of hype.
We've made our uniforms orange because it's the colour that an orange is.
But when the concepts came out, I was like, oh, they have botched this so bad. I saw them. I don't dislike them as much as I thought I was going to, but I also don't, I wouldn't say like them, but could have been worse.
Can I come out with a hot take? I don't mind them. And the reason I like them is because they remind me of Epcot Disney World.
Oh yeah,
like
okay.
I think the orange thing is bullshit because they're like releasing a whack uniform and they're like, oh, we better tie it somehow so the locals buy them. But like that font and that orange and that grey is clearly the future world of Epcot. For anyone who knows that, it was like a 70s version of the future.
I don't think that's what they were going for.
Do you not think that's what it looks like when I saw it? I was like,
yeah,
that's Epcot.
Yeah, no, it does. It looks. It definitely looks.
I think that's what they're going for, and then they're like
bygone time.
I honestly think the designer was doing Epcot, and then they go, we can't do this, and Disney doesn't want to be associated with us that much.
No, Disney literally are on the.
Yeah, but like I don't know, like maybe they'd have to pay more money if they used the Disney font. I don't know. They just they couldn't tread that close to Disney. Because let's be honest,
I will say.
If the Magic wanted to make money this year as a basketball team, what they would do is they would make a Mickey Mouse themed jersey and it would sell like hotcakes because people, like they should go, if Disney would allow it, they should go all in on the Mickey. I'm not saying this is cool and what I would like, but I'm saying like Disney fans around the world would buy an NBA Disney crossover.
Wait, so it would be like the top half of it would be black. And then, like halfway up, it would have the red with the two white buttons, like his shorts.
No, I
guess the shorts would just be
the
red.
The shorts would, yeah.
And the players have to wear the ears as well while they're playing. Really slows in the air. No, what you guys know? I mean, like either they do them simple, where they just have like the Mickey Mouse head logo with the number inside it on the front of the jersey, or more advanced, where you literally have like a picture of Goofy on the front of the jersey. I'm not saying it's a good idea.
You've lost the plot.
No,
I'm one of the biggest Disney fans there is.
I haven't lost the plot. Andrew, back me up.
No, I'm not going to. But I will say that I remember you, Paul, famously made a design for...
Yes. I was just going to bring this up.
Yeah, I actually thought that was legitimately better than the one that they've come up
with.
Yeah,
thank you. And a lot of people on Twitter, man.
I haven't seen this.
Here.
I'm your brother. Your own brother.
It was huge on
Reddit. On the Advanced Analytics... Twitter page, which I haven't given you access to.
I didn't know we had a Twitter page, so that's exciting.
We do, and I tweeted it. It got 99 retweets, 415 favorites, which is pretty viral for an account.
Considering the crap you talk about in this podcast, I can't believe you haven't mentioned this.
Yeah, well, it was in the off season, I think, and I forgot about it until now.
Because I saw it like organically on Reddit, it just came up, and I was like, oh, I know that guy.
That is amazing.
Yeah, wow. But we've actually got 42 followers now, which is a lot. But so far, the Twitter account has just been me trying to
Why do you ask me to retweet it? You, like, this is my only thing I'm good at. My only value as a human being is Twitter. It's my one thing that I focus on, and like, this is my opportunity to be useful for my life.
Yeah, we'll give it a retweet. But
it's like you don't want association with me. You're trying to anyway.
Talking about the Twitter is when Kawhi was making his decision, and it was meant to be like any minute now he's going to decide. I decided to try and take a stab
in
the dark. I just said Kawhi Leonard is staying in Toronto, announcement coming soon. Because I thought, what if we broke that? And like, I decided there was
you break a story.
How many retweets?
I decided there was a 50-50 chance. Like, he was probably going to LA or he was
going
to stay.
I thought he was going to Lakers, but anyway.
Right. And I took a gamble. I got it wrong. And then I tried to do it again by being the first person to break the news that the Black Caps had won the Cricket World Cup.
Oh my God.
That one went
so
horribly
bad.
Wrong. Then I tried to break the news that Neymar was leaving Barcelona. No, was leaving PSG to rejoin Barcelona.
It was weird when
Zero from three so far.
It was weird how you've crossed out of basketball for a start, because we're a basketball podcast, and then you crossed out of New Zealand, because we're a New Zealand basketball podcast, and you're just breaking soccer, Spanish soccer news.
I think next I might get into politics, like maybe break Trump's impeachment or something.
I think Trump's going to get re-elected. I don't want to get into politics right now. Okay. I don't want it to happen, obviously, but I just think he's going to get re-elected. Like, people just like react to what they people vote on, like single issue, whether it be abortion or immigration, and he's hard on both of those, and people are just going to feel passionate about that and vote for Trump. That's what I think. Anyway, bloody hell, it's time for, is that the end of Magic Mayhem with a bit of abortion chat? We always finish Magic Mayhem with a bit of abortion chat. It's just how we always end up there. Should we do a bit of a movie review before we wrap this bad boy up?
Yeah.
Guy I've been thinking. Should do a bit of guy I've been thinking.
No, that's the worst segment.
Shots fired. This podcast is unraveling.
I didn't say it. I didn't ever. All the listeners have
you
been
said
saying.
It. No, you say I didn't say it. You literally just said it on the podcast.
I didn't say it. The listeners
you
are saying.
You just
it.
Said it. Okay, Andrew, this is why you're here. Is guy I've been thinking the worst segment?
So I'm looking at the run sheet that you've sent through.
Yeah,
and it's got guy I've been thinking with a nice little apostrophe. And usually I would say, yeah, it's the worst segment. But I actually kind of like the question.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so yeah. Okay, thank you, Andrew, for taking my side, even though you did say it's the worst segment, which possibly it is. I mean, there's not many segments on the show anyway. Let's do a bit of a movie review from Paul. And is movie review from Paul better than guy I've been thinking?
I'll let you know afterwards.
I haven't really prepped anything.
What do you mean? You haven't prepped anything after you nixed my prepared segment to do a movie review, and now you're saying you haven't prepared anything.
Okay, the movie of the week. And I am going to get a theme song for next week. I haven't quite got it yet.
You're sick.
But
you're sick.
I went to see a film called Ford vs. Ferrari.
Oh my God.
It's not bad.
It's not called that in the UK, by the way, for our UK listeners, of which I'm not sure if
what's it called?
It's called something like The Greatest Race or something like that. They give it a different name, I think.
Wow.
I saw it in The Guardian.
I'd be more into
reviewed.
It if it was Ford versus Holden, if you know what I mean.
Yeah!
I'd say one of the biggest flaws is that I think you're supposed to be rooting for Ford, but you can't help but root for Ferrari. Like, the Ford guys are kind of, a lot of them, the higher-ups, are kind of jerks, while the Ferrari guy is extremely lovable. And,
why is he extremely lovable? Because he's like a racist Italian guy?
I don't know if he's racist.
Italians are so racist. I didn't realize this, but Italian soccer, if you listen to an Italian soccer podcast.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, mate, you'll probably be tweeting about Italian soccer next week, so don't pretend it's outside of the realms. I listen to an international soccer podcast called On the Continent. They're supposed to cover, like, the world of soccer. And every time they talk about Spain, they talk about the UK, and every time they get to Italy, they're like, racism scandal again this week. Like, literally every week, including some teams like Lazio, which are literally outward, like, racism is literally what they're built on. Like, they're literally, like, they were Mussolini's team. But anyway, sorry to be off track.
Paul, can you... So I've seen the posters for this movie around. I go to like maybe a movie every second year.
Yeah. What?
Can you explain to me the premise of this film?
It's a true story about Ford. Ford were like looking for new ideas, kind of, and they to like, I don't know, just like rejuvenate their company. And so they decided to make a racing team and to try and win Le Mans, is it? The race over in France. And so basically they hire Matt Damon and Christian Bale to try and make a car that's going to beat Ferrari in a race. Is the movie great? I don't think so. Is it bad? Definitely not. It's an enjoyable watch with some flaws. Like there's one bit where the one kind of female character gets really angry, and it just doesn't make sense because the scene before she's, you know, she's been very understanding and nice, and then she suddenly gets angry out of nowhere, and it just doesn't make sense.
We probably but, cut out,
did you
like...
say the one female character?
Yeah, there's it's definitely a male-dominated film.
Yeah! And I was tossing between
that and Charlie's Angels.
Which I love watching movies by the boys for the boys with a lot of cars in them. It seems like my kind of film.
But anyway, it's an enjoyable watch, but nothing to write home about. But I did want to recommend a TV show. It's called Joe Pera Talks.
Wait, this
to
is
you.
A, this is a movie review show, and now you're just shoving a TV it's, recommendation it's all in there. All before Guy, I've been thinking.
What is movie short for? Moving image.
Okay, just say what you want to recommend. The Joe Pera show, great.
Yeah, Joe Pera Talks to You. What a show! You'll be able to find it somewhere on the internet.
No, you can't find it easily, right? Because it's Comedy Central, and it's not like Viacom stuff is really hard to get on.
Okay, well, if you're in the US, it's Comedy Central.
It's easy, yeah. And if you're anywhere else, you're doomed.
Overseas,
illegally
VPN
download it
or something. I don't
Joe
know.
Pera is a very good comedian, though.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, cut the shit. It's time for advanced. Oh, what's the name of my segment? I've been thinking. Oh, fuck.
I've been thinking. I've been thinking, and Guy, I've come up with something. I've been thinking.
Okay, here's my theory, and I think this is a good one. The Bucks should be every NBA fan's second team this year. I know I said that about the Timberwolves yesterday, earlier. I did not mean that. I meant Timberwolves like a team that you can't hate because they're such losers, right? The Bucks should be everyone's second team that they're rooting for, regardless of who your first team is. They don't really have any rivals. I guess the Bulls, but I mean, the Bulls aren't good, and that's not really a rival, really, let's be honest. Giannis is the most important thing in NBA free agency next year, and he needs to stay. So the Bucks have to be relevant to prove that. Because what's happening is Anthony Davis, who did somehow miraculously re-sign with the awful team that is the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm not crapping on their team now. I mean, like, the franchise in general is a shambles, and their owner died and stuff like that. Not that's a reason to leave, but like the team. It's a football company that happens to own a basketball team. Anthony Davis stayed there for a comically amount of time and then eventually left in drama. Giannis, like most stars, if they're not good, will be looking to leave. And that's why they have to be good, because they've already run into problems. Malcolm Brogdon left, and he left apparently, based on an interview with Giannis this week, because he wanted to, you know, break out and get a new start at a new team where he can be like a less of a role player. And which seems weird because they've already got Victor Oladipo over there in Indiana. My point is that it's so hard for small market teams to A, be successful, B, to retain talent, especially stuff they've drafted. And now it shows that players like Kawhi, they just leave and move to wherever there's a good, like as I talked about nesting last week, they just leave to wherever a good situation is. Giannis staying with the Bucks, I think, is important for all small market teams fans out there. Small market teams hardly ever do well, and the Bucks are the best chance we've got.
Can I give you two words?
Yeah, what?
Four words, actually.
Okay, I'm excited.
Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, okay. Well, because he could leave too.
No, he just signed a max contract.
Okay.
So did Jamal Murray. So similar situation, small market team. You know, Giannis is arguably second only to Nikola Jokic in the league.
Yeah, you're a huge fan.
And both those players for the Nuggets re-signed max deals with the Nuggets for long term.
Yeah, I have a theory that international players are more loyal to their franchise.
I agree.
No. So I don't put Jokic. I think Jokic is a great player. I think last year he was an MVP candidate, but I don't think he's in the same league as a player like Kawhi or Giannis or LeBron or these players who can move mountains. Because I think Jokic needs. I could be wrong here, but I think he realizes that he needs the right situation. He's never going to be a guy who moves to New York or LA for the market. He's never going to be like the front of a Jordan brand shoe deal, right? And so as a result, he doesn't have that appeal, but also he's in a good situation in Denver, a team that's built around him. Mm. It's like, why would he leave? But whereas Giannis could fit in anywhere. If Giannis, like, apparently the Raptors are going to go for Giannis next year. I'm not up for that or anything like that. I don't want to take Giannis off the Bucks. But I was like, if Giannis went to the Raptors, he would possibly be in a better situation than he's in right now, in a bigger market. And it requires proving that they can win with what they're building on. And also they have Masai, who is really favourable with like players of African heritage. Like all I'm saying is that Milwaukee is a tiny team, and if they don't get their players right, which they're already struggling with, it could be hard for them to re-sign him.
Is Giannis of African heritage?
His parents right? moved to Greece when he was a young age, or maybe before he was born, so he's Greek. But Masai relates well to those types of players. Ibaka is Spanish, but he's also
Congo,
Congolese. I don't know how to say the word. I think he's from Congo. Okay, Paul, what do you think about that take? It's time for Paul Ben Thinking.
Well, Paul Ben Thinking. I'm just gonna.
Oh, it's called Paul Don't Lie. I tricked you.
Paul Don't Lie.
Got the name of your own segment wrong. Embarrassing. After not even having a movie ready for your other segment, movie review.
Well, I saw a movie.
That's not the only requirement of a movie review, anyway.
My theory that I thought up during your theory was that international players are more loyal.
Okay.
Like, look at Nick Vucevic. He's played for the Magic. He's gonna.
Vucevic could be Jokic. Jokic could go anywhere. You're right. Not that he'd want to. I don't think there's a better situation for him. Vucevic is in Orlando because they're the only team that wants him. Basically, especially for the price.
Dirk Nowitzki's the classic.
He was in hot demand.
But Dirk, again, the team, a reasonable sized team built around him. Mm. Again, it's like if the owner goes, you're everything, and that you also trust the owner, that's important, I think. And the Bucks have obviously gone, Giannis, you're everything, but whether he trusts them to be competent is a big if.
Steven Adams and.
The guys. Okay. So yeah, the guys going to big market teams are often guys just going home. Or occasionally, it's just a guy who wants to go to LA or whatever and be a star.
But look at Kevin Durant. He just moves to wherever he wants to, where the best situation is. It's what LeBron does as well. Like, they're not going home. I mean, I know he went to Cleveland, but that was bullshit. He moved to a better situation than Miami. Like, all I'm saying is we've got to root for the Bucks. We've got to hope that Giannis at least makes the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Otherwise, if he leaves, then small market teams are doomed. And if you look back at the last 20 years of the NBA, how many small market teams have been successful? San Antonio Spurs, who are possibly the greatest coach of all time, one of the greatest franchises, the greatest franchise of the last 20 years, and LeBron James and the Cavs, aka possibly the greatest athlete in NBA history. Like, I rest my case.
Are you defining success as winning a championship?
We're looking in terms of championship success as being like the ultimate goal for every NBA player, obviously.
Because like the Utah Jazz have been pretty good over the last 20 years. Like, they've had some good runs with Stockton and Malone, and that's a small market team.
That's very old. You're talking about like 1997 there.
Yeah.
The NBA's changed a lot. The NBA player movement is like fluid
now. The Jazz have always
kind
of been good.
The Jazz? Yeah, they've always been in the mixer.
Portland? Are they small market?
Definitely small market. Well, Portland, if they go, like Lillard will be, like he's bought into it. And you remember that they gave Lillard and McCollum all the money. Like, are they worth that? Yes to the team, but no to if you're trying to construct a franchise. You probably want Lillard to be your second player on a team. Like, you're probably not going to build a championship team around Lillard. The point is that Lillard in next year will probably be getting itchy feet if they continue on the trajectory they're on, which is going nowhere, possibly backwards, you know?
Do you think if you added, just off topic, if you added, say KD left the Warriors and went to the Trailblazers in the offseason, do you think they would be the top of the West?
Yeah, well, it depends what their makeup of the rest of the team is, but they got so many pieces that were movable as well. Like,
so switch out Carmelo Anthony, add in Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
Are they top of the West?
Yeah, probably. You'd want to
make the Warriors light, right?
You'd want to make every other player like a defensive 3-and-D guy. I mean, everyone wants a 3-and-D guy, but like at least a defense. You know, you need some defense there, but you could easily do that with the pieces they have. Like, they've got a lot of tradable young talent and also just like useful players. Why time out?
I gotta go.
All right. Well, that's pretty much the end of the podcast
talking,
anyway.
Though, but I gotta go.
Can I ask comedically for a bit of a laugh where you're going?
I've gotta go to a party.
Is it to do? No, you're not. Is it another movie review?
No, it's a party.
What? Give me more details about this party.
I don't know anything about
it. Is it a dress up party?
I gotta go.
That's not even a good excuse. What comes first, podcast or party?
Well, podcast, but. There's other elements at play
in life. Okay.
But yeah,
is
my
it your
theory
birthday
is just
party?
International. I think especially European players are very loyal to, like, you know.
I think this is white supremacy.
Soccer clubs and their city and where they're from.
You're a racist.
And so as a result, what?
No, I don't know. I'm just talking shit.
No, they're like passionate and loyal.
What about
people?
Poor Zingas, who just bailed on the Knicks and got booed all the way through Madison Square Garden 2 days ago?
Didn't the Knicks
what,
bail
he got
on
traded?
Poor Zingas?
Yeah, they traded him.
He wanted out. Surely they didn't do that awful trade because that was their big master plan.
Yeah, but no.
This is the Knicks. That was their big. They were like Dennis Smith Jr. is the.
I can't think of it right now, but there's probably.
Okay,
a lot
I got to go.
Anyway,
see ya. But later, you guys bro. Can continue talking. Hey, thanks for coming on, Andrew.
Thank you so much for having me.
Later, Paul.
Okay,
he's got Paul's off to a party. Okay, first off, do you agree that what's more important to Paul, party or podcast?
Well, I mean, it's quite rare that you have a party that you've got to be to bang on like at the exact right time, right? You can turn up any time over an hour.
Also,
most parties.
Also, in New York, it's like 7 o'clock right now. What parties are starting at 7 o'clock?
I don't feel comfortable coming on my first podcast and bagging
slam
Paul behind his back.
No stuff. No. Okay. I go, what's more important, podcast or party? And he says podcast, but then he leaves to go to a party.
Yeah, Paul's basically my boss at the moment, though,
So that's pretty sad. I'm gonna be honest with you. If I had a party to go to, I'd be there right now. Yeah. Like, no one wants me to come to a party. GuyandPaul@gmail.com. If you want to email us about a party that you want me to come, no, actually don't. People actually will invite me. They're like, come to my 18th birthday party. I don't want to come to your party. That was a bit of an attempted comedy.
I'll go. I'll go in your place.
Andrew's keen for a party. Email us guyandpaul@gmail.com if you want to invite Andrew to a party.
I haven't been to a party in years.
What do you bring to a party, Andrew? What are you bringing?
Usually like a pasta salad.
What? You're talking about very adult parties here.
Yeah.
But you bring in a pasta salad.
Usually, or like maybe potato salad, like something just to...
That's
know,
not
carbs.
A party, that's a barbecue.
Oh, what's a party then?
I don't know. Like, well, I'm thinking party, I'm thinking like, you know, at a house, alcohol and chips.
Oh, no, I don't usually do those.
Yeah, I'm not saying I do either, but I'm saying just email us if you want me or Andrew to come and actually say who you'd rather come, Andrew or me. Like, just get it. I just like receiving some emails sometimes. Yeah. Have you enjoyed your first Advanced Analytics podcast?
It's been a lot of fun. I've done podcasts in the past. I very rarely do them in person like this. So it's kind of
what do you mean you don't
well,
do
usually,
in person?
Well, usually, like, it's like over the internet, like Paul was, and you don't actually sit.
He's in New York City, though. You've done podcasts with people from Auckland.
Yeah, but
you haven't been able to get together.
Well, like going to parties, I don't often get out very much.
Do you Skype into parties as well?
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's good, not a bad idea, eh?
Yeah.
You can hear what music's going on. You can contribute to conversations if they pass you on a phone around the room.
And I can just sit and play video games at the same time. Best of both worlds.
What video game are you playing right now? That's...
I play a lot of Fortnite.
Still Fortnite?
Yeah.
Has it not died?
It's not at its peak, but no, it hasn't died.
I'm not trying to be cool here. I honestly don't really understand Fortnite at all, but I loved Halo and Halo 2 back in the day. Is it like a Halo 2 deathmatch?
I never played Halo.
Ah. Well, Counter-Strike?
Similar. Real, like, yeah, there's a gun and you got to shoot
something. GoldenEye? Like, you know, like similar.
Oh, I love GoldenEye.
Yeah.
No. Sort of, real roughly, like as much as like, I don't know.
You could do a video. Would you like to do a segment on the podcast? Like, I was trying to figure out, would you be keen to do like some sort of, you should think of a segment you want to do. I was thinking Australian NBL based, like we'd be mildly interested in that.
That's
or,
the one thing I know about.
Or Nuggets, or you could like have a rival try and take Paul down as Magic Mayhem
no
King.
No one wants a Nuggets segment.
Yeah,
I'm interested.
Is there or Fortnite segment as well?
Well, the thing I know most about is the Australian
it's
Basketball
Fortnite,
League.
And then Australian Basketball League, yeah. But is it just this week, just off the top of your head, is there anything interesting happening in Australia?
Yeah, have you heard about this? You mean in the basketball or just in Australia?
Oh, in the country.
Bushfires.
You're like, yeah, the bushfires, we'll talk about that another time. Yeah, in terms of, yeah, basketball in Australia.
Yeah, well, so there's, you know, the Breakers' new injury replacement guy.
Glenn Rice Jr.
Yeah. So you know how he came in with a big rap sheet?
Yeah, he's got a lot of convictions.
Yeah, well, he got arrested this week.
Oh, boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
In New Zealand or in Australia?
In Auckland.
Doing what?
Like outside a club, violence.
Oh, because like so if people don't know, Glenn Rice Jr. is Glenn Rice's son. Mm-hmm. He kind of got out of the NBA possibly because of reputation, right?
Yeah.
And then he's been all around kind of weird weird leagues, and Breakers have brought him in a Carmelo Anthony style, like, you know, roll the dice kind of move, which I supported, and it's difficult to support because he's got some serious allegations against him, but I'm all for a second chance if you're not if you're not in jail, you should be allowed to rehabilitate yourself in some way.
It's not a second chance, though, is it? It's like a seventh chance.
Seventh chance. Okay, yeah. And so now he's out of the league, is he? What's going on?
Out of this league? Well, they're going to assess on Monday. He's playing tonight in Perth.
Wait. So he...
I don't want to
talk... You don't want to talk about it now.
I don't want to talk about my opinions on the Breakers.
Yeah. You formerly have worked for the Breakers, and shout out to them, but it's like, I understand. It's. But do you think... Oh, man. Can you tell me what the allegations are, or are they very serious?
Well, I think it's just assault, right? I think that's what TVNZ reported.
In a bar.
Yeah. I think the Breakers owner called it a scuffle.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So it could be minor, because like sometimes assault can be minor.
Yeah, you don't get arrested for minor assaults.
So he went to the cells.
I think, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that.
Oh, well, okay.
So that's exciting.
And what? Yeah, that is, that is big time. And what's happening with LaMelo and, is it LaMelo? LaMelo and RJ Barrett watch.
RJ Hampton.
Do you think, because I've been thinking that them coming to New Zealand and Australia, while it's been awesome for New Zealand and Australia, has maybe been a little bit negative for them, or am I wrong?
There was a report in The Athletic, you know.
I don't read it. I'm not a rich
about,
guy.
It was like a big in-depth story on RJ Hampton coming out here, and he, the way it came across was for him, it's been a mixed bag. So... Who knows?
What about the Ball Brother?
Well, I think he's going to...
Ball Brothers!
His draft stock's gone way up since he's come out here.
Yeah, because of the hype of like a few highlights.
RJ's probably gone down slightly, but...
Because it's a hard league.
It's growing.
You can't come to New Zealand and think it's... Or Australia and think it's like... You're going to a small town league like the Bulls went previously, where you're going to just tear up and put up 60-point games. Like, there's no way an 18-year-old's going to score 30 points or 25 points in this league, right?
LaMelo has. LaMelo had a massive game last week. I think it was 26 points or something.
Oh, yeah, but he's...
But he's on a team where he's playing every single minute and has the ball in his hands the whole time. So
it's going to happen.
A lot of people are saying like the NBL is like the third or fourth best league in the world now.
Oh, that's...
Which
that
is hard to quantify.
So what would you go? Would you go... That's not... EuroLeague is more of a championship. It doesn't count as like a league. NBA one?
Yeah.
What's number two?
Probably Spain.
Spain, yes. Real Madrid, Barcelona.
And then you might go like maybe France.
France, but Russia or Italy?
Nah, I would say the Australian league's better than those ones.
Yeah.
So, but I'd say it's at least on par with France, if not better now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who knows?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, thank you so much for coming and doing your first pod. I bloody appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And awesome to have you here. And hopefully maybe we can do it again next week.
Yeah, if you'll have me back.
Yeah, bloody great. Awesome. No, it's been great. Thanks for all everyone for listening. I've been Guy Williams.
Oh, is this where I go? And I've been Andrew Price.
You don't have to say it. Paul has opted out of it. Like, do you want to say that?
No.
Okay. What do you want to say?
I don't want...
Scooby-Doo-ba.
I'm just going to leave it.
Okay, well, peace out. And thank you all very much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.